Credit card debt fell sharply during the COVID shutdowns. Unfortunately, it's becoming a big problem again. Hi, I'm Rob West. Folks cut spending and used stimulus money to pay down credit card debt during the pandemic. But what a difference a year makes. I'll talk about it with Neely Simon today and how you can get help with your credit card debt. We're off today, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, Neely Simon is our guest today. She's a certified credit counselor with Christian Credit Counselors, an underwriter of this program, and it's always great to have her with us. Neely, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me on the show, Rob. It's great to be here.
Well, we love it when you stop by. This is such an important topic, and with interest rates rising now more than ever. And Neely, as you know, one of the few positive outcomes of the COVID crisis was that people paid down credit card debt. But I guess you're here to report that that was short-lived, huh?
That's right. And in fact, the Bankrate survey stated that 46% of cardholders now carry a balance, up from 39% in 2021. The reality is that many of us are using credit cards to make ends meet. And unfortunately, with inflation continuing to grow for the foreseeable future and interest rates being an average of 20% or more, which is the highest they have been in the last 25 years, we are starting to feel the squeeze on our finances. But the good news is most people with debt are now actively strategizing ways to pay off their debt.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. Of course, we're seeing sharp increases in home foreclosures, up 115% in 2022. Also, delinquent auto loans now up more than 25%. But credit card debt, Neely, is one area where folks can make real progress and relatively quickly. So tell us about that.
Yes. So if you're struggling to make progress or have fallen behind or just want to seek some options to help with your credit card situation, I would encourage you to explore credit counseling. At Christian Credit Counselors, we offer a debt management plan. Now, it's not a consolidation loan or a settlement. It's a plan that offers you lower interest rates and lower payments, allowing you to pay off your debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. All the terms have been pre-negotiated with the creditors, and our consultation is free.
Yeah, that's really important. And the reason it's my preferred approach to get out of credit card debt is because it's not just a quick fix. My experience is that when you use a program like Christian Credit Counselors, it's going to have a lasting effect. Is that what you've seen too, Neely?
Yes, our program provides encouragement, relief, and enables clients to see the light at the end of the tunnel, knowing that they too can experience financial freedom while being a good steward of the resources God has given them.
No doubt about it. You mentioned the Lord in that. Talk about why this is a biblical approach.
So many of us Christians feel convicted when having debt. We understand that during these times, God is helping us to learn really important lessons and that He forgives us. He wants us to be right so that we can glorify Him. Credit counseling is about paying your debt in full, and in the process, you get to experience the peace and freedom that God wants for all of us so that we can live generous lives.
Neely, they're going to have one fixed monthly payment. They're going to have lower interest rates. And the combination of those two is going to allow them to pay this on average 80% faster. Isn't that right?
That's correct. So not only is more of your money going to pay down the principal, but we also apply the snowball method to our program. So the payment will remain the same throughout the program. When one account gets paid off, it'll get rolled into that other account, really expediting the payoff and getting people out of debt much sooner.
Quickly, for someone who's listening and saying, I don't know if I can fit this payment into my budget, your team will actually work with them on their spending plan, right?
That's correct. Our free consultation consists of working up a comparison estimate, outlining all the benefits and the fees, and then we also walk you through a budget, really helping you to understand your disposable income, offering opportunities to coach, and potentially the debt management plan being a good solution if they struggle with credit card debt.
Incredible. Well, Neely, thanks for stopping by and encouraging our folks that there is a way out of credit card debt and a way that you can pay it in full and honor the Lord at the same time. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Neely Simon's been our guest today. She's a certified credit counselor with Christian Credit Counselors. You can get more information at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Much more to come just around the corner, including your questions. Stay with us.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Have you ever stopped to wonder what motivates pregnant mothers? Think about all the troubles they go through. Morning sickness is only the tip of the iceberg. What keeps these women going is the anticipation of holding the life that is currently in the womb. In a similar way, our Lord Jesus Christ lived with anticipation as he approached his death. Hebrews 12:2 tells us, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." But what was that joy? It was the joy of accomplishing his Father's will and saving his people. In a sense, we can say that's what motivated Jesus through his suffering. It was you and me. He came to earth with a mission to save us, and he wouldn't stop until his joy was complete. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Bro, no way that just happened.
Yeah, this radio is old, man.
Wait, you have Roku, don't you?
Yeah, but how's that gonna help us?
Dude, AFR's on Roku now.
Oh, seriously?
Yes, where's your remote? All right, here we go.
We're in the same...
You are a genius.
Oh, yeah.
American Family Radio, available on Apple and Android products, Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian Credit Counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian Credit Counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
God owns it all. We're stewards of his resources, which makes money a tool to accomplish his purposes. Hi, I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, looking at our financial decisions through the lens of a biblical worldview. That means going to the source, God's Word, to draw our principles and thoughts related to handling his money. Phone lines aren't open today since this is a recorded program, but we have some great questions we think you will find helpful. Let's head to Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Shay. Thanks for being on the program today. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I am reaching out to find out. I have a newborn. Well, he's 8 months old. And I was trying to figure out what is the best way to start in, like, a bank account, a savings for him, as well as I'm paying a mortgage on my condo. And I want to know what is the best way for me to leave that property to him in the event of my passing. In case I pass and he's a minor, how does that work?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good. So a couple of great questions. I love that you're planning in advance. And by the way, congratulations on that new 1 month old. What a blessing from the Lord. A couple of things first related to that savings account. I think the first question you have to decide is control. Do you want to save in an account that you would have control over when it becomes his asset? In a custodial account, it becomes his asset at the age of majority, regardless of his spiritual and financial maturity.
be an ability to handle these funds in an account you control, you would decide when that becomes his asset. And then secondly, I would ask whether you want to earmark this specifically for retirement, college, or if you want it more widely available. So give me your thoughts on those two.
I definitely want to be in control of it because I don't. Okay. Typically, children are not ready at 18.
Yes,
so
I agree.
I definitely want to make sure that he is ready spiritually and more mature in order to take that over, as well as and I want it to be widely available. So if he wants to utilize it for college, or if he's, you know, at 25 and he wants to purchase the home, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so in that case, then I would open an account in your name or in the name of you and your husband. So you would control that and you could decide to gift it to him at any point down the road, whether he's still a minor or beyond age 18. And I would do it in just a brokerage account, probably at Fidelity or Charles Schwab. Are you comfortable investing this money given that the time horizon is likely more than 10 years?
Yeah, so low to moderate.
Yeah. So what I would do is probably look at one of two options. You could head to soundmindinvesting.org, and our friends at SMI could help you with some mutual fund suggestions. You would be able to open the account, again, in your name or jointly held with any of the major brokerage firms like Fidelity or Schwab, and then they would give you mutual fund recommendations that are high quality that could just grow over a long period of time, and you could set up an automatic transfer of whatever amount into that account every month so you could build it over time systematically. The other approach is what's called a robo-advisor. This is just more of an automated approach to investing that uses an algorithm, and it's very low cost. And every time you make a deposit, it reinvests the amount you're depositing into some broad market, what are called indexes. So you would capture the big, broad moves of the stock and bond market over time. And, you know, that can be a very efficient and cost-effective way to invest. And by investing every month, you're doing what's called dollar cost averaging, which just means whether the market's down or the market's up, you're just systematically investing in at different points in the market's trends. And over time, it's a great way to build wealth or to grow a portfolio for a specific purpose like saving for a child. So a good example of that would be what's called the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. You would answer a series of questions. They would build a portfolio that's very low cost, and then you would automatically reinvest it every time you made a deposit. Another more kind of modern approach to that is something in what's called the fintech space, and it'd be a smartphone application that you'd find in your app store called Betterment. So whether it's Betterment or the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, I think that would do what you're looking for. And based on the way that you answer the questions about your risk tolerance, your time horizon, your goals and objectives, you could dial that portfolio down to be as conservative as you want it to be. But the good news is it's not sitting there in savings where even though it might get a little bit of interest, you're barely, if at all, going to outpace inflation, and therefore you're really not growing it. Whereas if you invest it, you at least have the potential over a long time horizon to see this money grow in addition to the contributions that you make. With regard to your house, the best way to handle that is through just a basic will. Now, that would make sure that it's passed to your heirs at your death. And the benefit is there's what's called a step up in basis, which just means when the inheritance is received, the new cost basis for the home is not what you paid for it, but it's the new higher value as of the date of death. And the benefit there is that if it's sold, then there's no capital gains tax essentially on that inheritance because they're selling it for the same thing the cost basis is because that was stepped up. Now, you mentioned the ability to pass that to him even if he's still a minor and something were to happen to you, and you'd probably want to talk to an estate planning attorney about a trust. What would happen is you'd create a trust, a living trust. It'd probably be somewhere around $1,500 to $2,000, and then you'd retitle the house in the name of the trust. The benefit of that is you would have the ability, even if you passed away prior to your son reaching adulthood, or if you were incapacitated, you would have a trustee named that would handle the distribution of your estate and this home. and it would happen according to your wishes. So you could put certain provisions in the trust documents that say, for instance, you know, he's not to receive it until a certain age, or he's to receive it over time, you know, throughout his life or something like that, to make sure that he's provided for beyond your life. So I would say the next steps for you are to determine how much you want to put away in this account for him. Set up an account at Charles Schwab or Fidelity and use either Betterment or the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios or soundmindinvesting.org. And then make an appointment with an estate attorney to make sure you update your will, which you want to do anytime you have a major life event change, like having a child, and then ask about a living trust, specifically for your house and other assets. Does that make sense?
That is wonderful information. Thank you so much.
Okay, very good. Well, listen, congrats again, Shay, on this new little one in your home. I know it's an exciting time there. We appreciate your call today very much. You know, folks, we've got a lot of ground still to cover today. We've got Carol and Norm up. Let's take a quick email before we head to our first break today. This one comes into us at askrob@faithfi.com, and we hear from... Let's see. Wanda, she writes, when I give to some ministries, I've received free gifts in the past. The retail price of those gifts is taken out of my donation. Well, I don't need the gifts and don't want that money deducted from my donation. What do I do? And what I would say, Wanda, is that it's wonderful that you don't necessarily want to be compensated in any way, including with a gift for your giving. So first thing I would do is ask the ministry not to send you the gift. Oftentimes when you make a gift, they will have right there, for instance, if it's an online form where you check a box that you either want it or you don't want it, I would obviously indicate you don't want it, and then you'll get the full amount of the deduction. Or you could call the ministry and say, listen, I want to go ahead and give this gift, but I'd like for you not to send the gift back in exchange, and they should be able to honor that. So I would just communicate with the ministry and make sure that they honor those wishes. Thanks for writing to us. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day. Banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You've probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18 to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Sandy Rios, AFA's Director of Governmental Affairs and the host of the podcast Sandy Rios 24/7.
For 40-plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, we started today by talking about the W-4, how you can fill out that form to ensure that you're not having any extra withheld from your paycheck, resulting in a higher refund than you should receive. And here's why. We don't want that windfall. We want that money in your check so you can allocate it according to your values and your goals and priorities. But if you are thinking about your taxes, and perhaps this is a season where you're dreading that tax bill every year, well, one way to think about our taxes, I think biblically, is first of all, that taxes are symptomatic of income, God's provision. So therefore, and this might come as a surprise to you, we can pay our taxes with gratitude because again, they're symptomatic or evidence of, you might say, God's provision in your life. And of course, in exchange for that, we receive benefits. Now, we may disagree on how the government uses our money. We may feel that some of it's wasted or maybe even some is used in contradiction to our values. But what we can be assured of is that it's God ordained, that we've been told in the scriptures to honor the authority God has ordained in Luke 20 and Romans 13. So perhaps we ought to shift our thinking and think about not paying any more than we owe by any means, but with what we owe, paying it with thanksgiving to the Lord and thanking him for his gracious provision in our lives. Think about that today. Speaking of W-4s, Crystal, I understand you have a question there in Hammond, Indiana. Go right ahead.
My daughter just turned 18 December last year. And as far as putting her as a dependent on my W-4, for what am I still allowed to do that? And also, my whole life I've always claimed zero, which I am now learning is the wrong thing to do. But what all can I claim? Do I claim one for myself? Do I also claim one for my daughter and so on?
Yes. Well, a couple of thoughts. Number one, just specifically related to your daughter, you can claim your 18-year-old child as a dependent if she's lived with you for more than 6 months and you provide more than half of her support. And if the answer to that is yes, then absolutely you can do that. With regard to how you would approach the W-4, you really just need to follow the instructions on the form. It's going to ask you to list all of your income, including self-employment. There's an online estimator at irs.gov that you can use, or on the W-4 itself, there's actually a worksheet. But in addition to listing your income on that worksheet from all combined sources, you'll want to claim your children and other dependents, including that 18-year-old daughter, if the answer to those items that I just mentioned were yes. And then any items affecting your withholding, so income apart from your job that you expect to receive that won't have any withholding, things like that. Also any deductions other than the standard deduction that you expect to claim. So it will all be laid out there for you. And at the end, when you sign and date that and turn it in to your employer, that will give them all the information they need to know how much to withhold so we can get as close to zero as possible, with certainly without you owing anything, but without you getting a big refund check back.
Okay, that's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Can I squeeze in
one more question?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay, I live in Indiana, but I work in Illinois. Now, my employer says that since Indiana is not a reciprocal state of Illinois, they don't have an agreement that they're not obligated to withhold my taxes, that I have to figure that out for myself. How is that true? How do I go about doing that?
Yeah. You can make those estimated payments. I think the key is that you know exactly what you should be withholding to cover those state taxes at the appropriate level. This is where a CPA is going to be really helpful to you, Crystal, to be able to help you do some tax planning, given this unusual situation where that is not automatically withheld, given the difference in the resident state versus the state you're working in, to make sure that you're doing that on your own to do that withholding and making those estimated payments so you don't have any penalties or interest. And certainly you don't want that to catch you by surprise at the end of the year. So if you previously haven't used a CPA, I think this is certainly the time to do it, to go ahead and do some planning to make sure you're covering 2022, but then also moving forward, you know the appropriate amount to withhold in the future. So I would reach out to a godly CPA. If you don't have one, you could contact a certified Kingdom advisor and ask for a referral. You'll find a CKA on our site at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA. Thanks for your call today. God bless you. To Florida. Hi, Norma. How can I help you? Norma, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. Go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling because I have grandchildren that I would like. I have an IRA and I was going to put them on there, but I called the company and they told me they would advise me to go to a different banks because they would only be getting 1% from them if something would happen to me or my husband. Right now, I'm going to put my husband on because I didn't even realize he wasn't on. So I have the form. So I wanted to put my other grandchildren just in case, you know, he passes. So what's your advice? I have one more quick question after
that. Sure. Well, with regard to the IRA, you certainly want to maintain up-to-date beneficiaries. And so if your husband's not currently listed, you'd want to make that change immediately. You could list your grandchildren in whatever breakdown you want as contingent beneficiaries if something were to happen to you and your husband. With regard to you saving for them, if you wanted to put some additional money aside for college, I would use what's called a 529 education savings plan. It's just a basic account based on the tax code that allows you to put in money. It's after tax dollars that go in, but it grows tax free so long as you use it for qualified educational expenses. You could open one for each child and put in basically as little or as much as you want and let that grow between now and college. To learn more about that, go to a website called savingforcollege.com. It'll help you figure out which 529 is the best one for you. And then go ahead and get those beneficiaries updated. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at afr.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM. Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year, and for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
So they asked me to enter my email address, and the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Let's go back to the phones. We've got all the lines full with some great questions coming up. To Florida we go. Treva, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. My mother just recently passed away. She had her home and her house paid for, or her car. So, of course, it has to go to probate because it wasn't in my sister's or my name. Mm-hmm. But my question is, once that all settles, what's the best way to use the money that we get? I have a car payment. I don't know, should I pay the car off? Even though it's not a problem to make my car payment.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, very good.
That money sit in the bank. Because my husband and I are old. I'll be 60 and 52. You know, you want to have some cash.
Yeah, but, sure. You said your age is 60, is that right?
I'll be 61 this month. Yes.
Okay. And so are you and he working, or one of you?
I work full time and he has his own business, but.
Okay, great.
He'll probably be retiring soon.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear about your mom's passing. How much do you think you'll receive when the estate's settled?
I'm thinking close to at least $60,000. It's split three ways, so her home should be, at least $150,000 plus the car's worth $15,000, and she just had a small insurance policy.
Yeah, so you'll receive about $60,000. Let me just kind of run through a few questions about your financial situation. Do you all have what I call an emergency fund of maybe 3 to 6 months' worth of expenses and savings?
Yes, I have about $9,000 in savings.
Okay, what do you all spend on a monthly basis, roughly?
I only spend maybe $1,500 because I think I clear close to $2,000. I live pretty modestly here in Florida.
Okay. But do you and your husband kind of separate the bills, or is that everything?
Yes. He draws his Social Security, so that covers our house payment. So really all I have is my car and my regular, electric, water, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And I don't have much in the
So you feel like $9,000 is enough for your emergency reserves. Beyond that, do you all feel like you're on track in terms of retirement savings? You know, when you both fully retire, other than your Social Security, do you have enough in the way of assets to supplement that?
I don't think so, unless we were to sell our house. Because my husband always owned his business, so he never had a retirement plan.
Okay. Very good. And does the business have value? Would it be sold when he's retiring?
He's actually a horse trainer, so not really.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no problem. So that would be one option, is for you all to try to put as much of this away into retirement accounts as possible. I do also like the idea of paying off the car. So that would be one option. How much is left on the balance of that car note?
About 26,000. Okay. I just got it.
Okay. Yeah, so you could wipe that out. That would obviously free up more on a monthly basis that you could plow back into additional savings. If you want to do any giving on this, you could do that. And then the balance, perhaps you'd fund Roth IRAs. That would be retirement accounts individually, and you could put in over the age of 50, $7,500 this year. And so you could put in $7,500 for each of you, or a total of $15,000 between the two of you. And before you file your 2022 return, you could actually go ahead and fund last year's at $7,000 apiece. So you could put in $14,000 for 2022, and then you could turn around and put in another $15,000 for 2023. So between the two of that, that would get you, you know, about all of this money allocated, because you'd have $29,000 going into Roth IRAs that you could then invest and grow for the future. So you'd begin to build a little bit of a nest egg that would supplement Social Security, in addition to now having your car paid off, which gives you more margin on a monthly basis. How does that sound?
It sounds good. Other than we've already submitted our taxes, because my husband's business, we have to file by the 15th of March. So I've already submitted.
Okay. Okay, so you could put at least $15,000 into 2023 Roth IRAs, and that would get a good bit going there. And then you could either put the rest of that in savings, or as a sole proprietor, essentially, you could open what's called a SEP IRA, S-E-P IRA, and that would allow you to put in a good bit more, up to 25% of his compensation, or north of $50,000, and that would give you a current year deduction on the amount going in, and then it could be invested and grow for the future. So those could be great options as well. I think you guys, if you've never spent any time with an advisor doing some planning, I think that might be helpful for you as well, just to look at all of this in light of a financial plan, both looking at retirement, what are your income needs going to be down the road, what about your insurance, your estate plan and wealth transfer plans, as well as kind of how to deploy this additional money you're going to be receiving. And if you're interested in connecting with an advisor, I'd reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor there in Florida. You can find a CKA on our website at faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA. But apart from that, I think a SEP IRA or two Roth IRAs would be great options in addition to paying off the car.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Treva. Glad you called today. God bless you. To Huntington, Indiana. Hey, Ed, thanks for calling. Go ahead. Ed, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Go ahead, sir.
My question is, okay, my wife and I've been saving for longer than her. I've been saving for retirement since I have been working full time, when I was about 20. And after my wife and I married, I helped her set hers up, and she's been saving a 401k as well.
Okay.
Over the years, because of the recession and different things, we've changed jobs. I currently have two separate 401ks because I did not roll the one over into the other. And my wife has three. And we are still currently working, although she is only a couple of years away from retiring. She's a little older than I am. And I was looking at combining her two into a local institution retirement plan, so that I just want to make it easier for her to be able to go in and talk to somebody about if something should happen to me.
Sure.
Where she can go in and say, hey, I need to raise how much I'm getting out of my retirement plan, or or something like that. And at the same time, then I was going to roll the one that I am no longer contributing to into a plan at the same place, so that she could have access to that. And the reason I'm saying this is because my dad's side of the family is notorious for not having a long lifespan.
Yeah. And let me weigh in on this because I've got to hit a break here in just a second. I totally agree. I think rolling this into two IRAs, so reducing the number of overall accounts, will simplify things. The key is to find that trusted advisor. If you've got somebody locally, great. If not, you could find a certified Kingdom advisor, two or three, to interview on our website at faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA. You could do some planning, build a relationship that she could continue if you pass away before her, but also have that one IRA for each of you that is the recipient of these rollovers to get things a lot more simplified and invested together. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show. It's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You live my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
You know, as we think about our generosity, we realize that giving changes our perspective. It reorients our thinking and ultimately our hearts towards God's ownership, control, and purposes. We should be givers. We were created in the image of the ultimate giver. I am Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We're talking today about God's money and your role as a manager of it. So let's talk about what you're thinking about today. What's on your mind, financially speaking? Back to the phones to St. Louis. Hey, Doug, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you so much. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Hey, I have a question about, I have some insurance settlements coming, and I am on disability. Can you tell me, or do you have any really good information on how I should proceed with these insurance settlements versus my disability? It's not enough to offset the disability totally. I'll probably live longer than that, but it's certainly going to have some implications. I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Yeah. In terms of what specifically are you trying to solve for here?
Well, I understand insurance settlements or tax, not tax deductible.
That's great. It's not taxable. If it's a personal injury claim, it would not be taxable at the federal or state level.
Okay, so would that have any implication on disability at all? And I'm not going to have to file tax returns that I've got now all of a sudden a bunch of money, and now I'm going to be disqualified from disability.
Yeah, no, there shouldn't be. I mean, if you still qualify as being disabled and unable to work, I don't see any reason there. You could certainly check with a CPA just to be sure in your specific situation, but I'm not hearing anything that would cause any problems there.
Gotcha. And a CPA should be able to cover any kind of investments or suggestions on what to do proceeding.
Yeah, I think, well, for that, you would want an investment advisor, somebody who could really take a look at your overall financial picture and help you build an investment strategy to deploy this money in a way that makes sense for you and your goals and objectives. If you don't have an advisor, you could find a certified Kingdom advisor there in St. Louis on our website at faithfi.com. Just click Find a CKA. I think this is a great opportunity for you, Doug, to seek some wise counsel, both on the tax side as well as the investing side, just so you've got somebody walking alongside you to help you make some really wise decisions. So hope you're okay at the end of the day. And I'm sorry to hear that you're going through this, but I appreciate your desire to be a faithful steward of these resources. And I think getting some competent counsel could really help you. I appreciate your call today, sir. To Cleveland. Hi, Kathy. How can we help you?
Hi. Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have three retirement accounts. One that I started when I found out my employer didn't have a Roth option. And then a second one that's my normal 401k that now does have a Roth option. So I've stopped contributing to the first one, and I'm just mostly going through my 401k. And then the third is an annuity that I rolled over from previous employers. So the total of all three of them is around $282,000. And when I talked to the financial advisor with Fidelity that does my 401k, I thought I could roll over that the Roth that I set up, and I found out I can't. So after meeting with him, I just all of a sudden thought the amount that's sitting there is about what I owe my house. So I owe about $27,000, and there's $32,000 sitting there. I'm looking at retiring in 4 to 6 years. And so I was kind of excited to think I'm just going to cash that in since I'm over 59 and pay off my house. And when I called the financial advisor, he's advising me, oh, you don't want to do that. He said, you don't come into lump sums of money like that too often, so you should let it grow since you're only paying 4% or 4.25% on your mortgage.
Yeah. And so you said, how much is the balance in all of these combined?
The total combined right now is 282.
Right.
And the one, so I have a 32 that's in this account I'm talking about, 180 in my Fidelity, and 36 in Prudential, that's the annuity. But the 36 is actually going to jump to 100,000 once I don't touch it for 20 years. There's some kind of little note in there that says if you don't touch this account for 20 years, it quadruples. So
okay, so the 32,000 is a Roth IRA?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So you could pull that out. It wouldn't be taxable. And you said your balance on your mortgage is only 29?
27, yes.
27. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I could go either way on this. I mean, obviously the point of these investments is for them to grow. And the Roth is a great option just because you've got that money in there growing tax-free, which is a huge benefit in the sense that, you know, even once you retire, you still have, if you're in good health, a decades long need for this money to last. So this would be a part of your overall investable assets that could help to offset your income needs in retirement beyond what Social Security will cover, which was never intended to cover more than 40%. So I think what your advisor is saying is, man, as much as I hear you that you'd like to be debt-free, I'd love to keep these assets growing and compounding for you, especially while the market's down right now, letting this recover and moving to higher ground. And then you just make a goal out of your current cash flow to get that mortgage paid off by the time you retire. And if you do that, now you're entering retirement debt-free, which keeps your lifestyle as low as possible, but you're maximizing your investable assets, so you've got more to draw from down the road. So that's the financial case for it. That's not counting, though, Kathy, is just the peace of mind of you knowing that you've paid off your home and that it's free and clear. And if you feel like you have a leading from the Lord or a conviction to be debt-free, or that would just give you a greater peace of mind, I don't have any problem with that. I mean, it's tax-free money. You've already paid the tax on it. As you said, you're not going to pay a penalty. And although you're only paying, you know, 4% or so on it, I think the non-financial benefit of you being unencumbered and knowing that you're completely debt-free and now you've got this extra money now on a monthly basis that you could give away or sock into savings, I think that's a great idea. So again, I could, and I know I'm sounding like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but I think at the end of the day, you could do either one. From purely a financial standpoint, it'd probably be better to leave that money in the Roth and just let it grow and just keep paying that mortgage as much as you can and get it paid off by the retirement. But if you feel like you'd rather have your home free and clear, I'd say go for it and don't look back. Does that make sense?
It does, and you're almost repeating word for word what the advisor said, so that gives me kind of confirmation, and I am paying extra toward my mortgage, so I'm on track to have it paid off in 4 years, so okay. So there's not really a concern there. There was just that one moment that I thought I could do this, and one thing the advisor said is you could do it next year, too. You know, anytime you want to, you do it, so I don't have to rush into it.
Exactly. And if you waited till next year, you're probably going to let this, you know, $32,000 recover to maybe $35,000 or $36,000 or maybe higher than that, you know, as the market recovers. And then again, you could, you know, come in and wipe it out at that point. So I think that's good counsel. I just want to leave room for the Lord to lead you to do something that he wants you to do or that you feel compelled to do around paying off debt. And if that was the case, I wouldn't want to stand in the way of that by any means.
Absolutely. All right. Yeah. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
All right, Kathy. Thanks for your call today. Let's finish in Florida. Hey, Tom, what can I do for you, sir?
Hello?
Yes, Tom, go right ahead.
I'm one of many that have had damage to their home from the from hurricanes or various storms and so forth. My question is surely I would guess that the insurance settlement would not be added to income for tax purposes.
That's correct. Your insurance settlement isn't taxable because it only replaces what you lost. However, it could be partially taxable if you've already claimed the cost of the damage as a deduction on your tax return. In that case, part of the settlement could be considered taxable, so I would check with the CPA. But if not, it would not be taxable because, again, it's replacing what you've lost, and so it's really not income in that sense. Does that make sense?
Yes, but my question is that there's a difference between the settlement and the actual repairs, and a lot of times the insurance settlement no way covers the cost of the repairs. Is there any recourse in that?
That's going to be between you and your insurance company, and so that would be something I would take up with them. Obviously, Florida is in a really tough situation with regard to the state of the insurance environment, and so you're going to have to go back to your insurance company, and hopefully through documentation, you can help them to get to a number that's actually going to cover the cost of the repairs. We appreciate your call today. Quickly to Trent in Indiana. Trent, I understand your father-in-law bought some I-bonds, and you're wondering about an additional $5,000 through a tax refund. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, real quick, I'm calling on behalf of my father-in-law and mother-in-law. I helped them set up their accounts to get the $10,000 electronic version. To my understanding, is there an ability to get the $5,000 paper version? And if so, my research shows that you would have to do that through your tax return.
You're exactly right. That's the only way you can do it. So to buy the paper I-bonds with a tax refund, you'd use the IRS form 8888 when you file. So just have them check with their CPA, or if you do their return, you could do it for them. And you'd specify the number of bonds you want to buy and the denominations up to $5,000. So that allows you to buy an additional $5,000 beyond the $10,000 you can normally buy in electronic bonds, but it's only available through a tax refund. So you're exactly right, and it'd be a great option for them if that's what they're looking at doing. Hey, thanks for checking with us today, sir. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us today. Boy, we covered a lot of ground today. I hope and pray that today was an encouragement to you, that you found something valuable and helpful in your life, and you were reminded of God's heart related to your money, that it's not about enriching ourselves, but it's about growing in our intimacy with Him, and our money can actually be a catalyst and a tool to help us do that. On behalf of my team today, Jim Henry, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick, I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Have a great weekend, and come back and join us next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.